Hi, it's Charlie Connolly here. I write every week in the New European on books and literature and great European lives. If you'd like to enjoy more from the New European, you can join us by subscribing at theneweuropean.co.uk/subscribe. That's theneweuropean.co.uk/subscribe. Great European Lives, from the New European, Karen Blixen, 17th of April, 1885, to the 7th of September, 1962. In New York in the spring of 1959, Karen Blixen danced on a table with Marilyn Monroe and Carson McCullers. At least she did according to her fellow novelist McCullers' version of events. While the three certainly met, it's unlikely that the frail, sickly Blixen would have been tapping her toes on the formica, even if she'd been inclined to. But the 74-year-old Danish author of the classic memoir Out of Africa would have happily endorsed the tale. It would have appealed to her love of a good story, her taste for the unconventional, and her innate antipathy to the commonplace. The international popularity of Danish hygge, the state of contentment engendered by fireside cosiness and conviviality, would have appalled her. Karen Blixen lived her life as the antithesis of hygge, and there was no better illustration than the 4 months she spent in the US in the early part of 1959, ostensibly to make educational films and give talks for the Ford Foundation and the Encyclopaedia Britannica, but also just to have a hell of a good time. Blixen, who wrote mainly under the pseudonym Isaac Dinesen, was at the height of her fame. Out of Africa, an account of the years she spent running a coffee plantation in Kenya, had been a worldwide bestseller for more than 2 decades, and the previous 3 years had seen the publication of 2 successful short story collections. Within days of her arrival in New York, Life magazine ran a feature about her visit. She dined with socialite Gloria Vanderbilt. John Steinbeck threw a cocktail party in her honour. Maria Callas sang for her. Cecil Beaton and Richard Avedon photographed her. E.E. Cummings, Arthur Miller, and Aldous Huxley all paid calls on the painfully thin Danish aristocrat in the black robes, her heavily powdered face framed by tight-fitting turbans. In return, she ramped up the European aristocratic eccentricity, insisting on eating only oysters and grapes, and drinking nothing but champagne. This was vintage Blixen, working up her life into a much better story, always seeking the greater narrative. "I am not a novelist or even really a writer. I am a storyteller," she said. "One of my friends said about me that I think all sorrows can be borne if you put them into a story, or tell a story about them. And perhaps this is not entirely untrue. To me, the explanation of life seems to be its melody, its pattern. And I feel in life such an infinite, truly inconceivable fantasy." It was a trait she'd inherited from her aristocratic father, Wilhelm Dinesen. A born adventurer and romantic, Wilhelm, a relative of the Danish king, had fought in the Franco-Prussian War of 1870 and, disillusioned by life as an army officer, set sail for America, where he spent 2 years living in remote northern Wisconsin among Native Americans. He wrote a memoir, Letters from the Hunt, that became a minor Danish classic. By contrast, Blixen's mother Ingeborg came from a family of serious, high-minded Unitarian merchants. Karen's grandmother's reaction on hearing of her engagement was to ask, "How shall we reckon with an erotic element among us?" And while Karen was homeschooled at the family's manor house by a stern religious aunt, it couldn't dampen her unconventional side that was pure Dinesen. Karen adored her father, feeding off his panache and vibrancy, and she in turn was his favourite of the 5 children. It meant Karen was more devastated than most when Wilhelm, a long-term sufferer from depression, committed suicide shortly before her 10th birthday. The adventurous spirit he'd fired in her would never be extinguished. It seems, too, that she recognised something of her father in the man who became the love of her life and her muse. Dennis Finch Hatton, son of the Earl of Winchelsea, was a dashing pilot and adventurer, with whom Blixen fell in love on meeting him in Kenya in 1918. The problem was, she was married to somebody else at the time. She had become Baroness Blixen in 1913, when she married the Swedish Baron Bror von Blixen Finneker. With a typical storyteller's flourish, she had first been in love with Bror's brother Hans, but the combined appeal of an aristocratic title and a new life in Kenya, where Bror was to set up a coffee plantation, led initially to a happy union. The couple married in Mombasa and set off for their new home in the Ngong Hills, a few miles southwest of Nairobi. The plantation was never likely to be a success. The soil and altitude were far from ideal, and Bror was more interested in big game hunting. Eventually, he left the running of the business to his wife, while he went off on lengthy safaris with a string of aristocratic visitors. His frequent absences allowed Karen to indulge her infatuation with Finch Hatton. Dashing and handsome, he was the perfect stimulus for an exiled Danish baroness landed with the running of a failing business. They would lay together, watching blood-red Kenyan sunsets, listening to Rachmaninoff, and talking late into the night. Her marriage ended in 1921, but Finch Hatton was far too much of a free spirit to be husband material. After a decade, their relationship reverted to a deep friendship, shortly before his death in a plane crash while stalking elephants in 1931. Later that year, with a broken marriage, a dead lover, and a failed business venture behind her, Blixen arrived back in Denmark after 17 years away. She was in her late 40s, in constant pain from the syphilis she'd caught from her husband during the first year of their marriage, and faced an uncertain future. Although she'd passed the endless days of the Kenyan rainy season writing early drafts of the Gothic tales that would form her first book, it wasn't until she returned to Denmark that Blixen decided she would write seriously. She had a great deal to draw on. Nobody, she mused, came into literature more bloody than I. She set up the Corona typewriter she'd used in Africa on her father's old desk, in a room by a window that looked out along the Jutland coast, and began work. Her seven Gothic tales, a collection of supernatural romances set in the 19th century, originally rejected by publishers on both sides of the Atlantic, was eventually published in America in 1934 and became a huge bestseller. Out of Africa followed 3 years later, cementing her literary reputation and legacy to the extent that when he accepted his Nobel Prize for Literature in 1954, Ernest Hemingway said that he would have been far happier had it gone to Karen Blixen. Her health was a constant concern throughout her life, but especially in her final years. The legacy of her syphilis was painful and permanent. She treated the condition with mercury in the early days and continued to take doses of arsenic, which may explain her constant stomach pains. These doubtless contributed to her Spartan diet. When she died in 1962 in her simple, narrow wooden bed in a small attic room, the cause was recorded as emaciation. Although, in characteristic style, she attributed her Spartan diet to a desire to achieve greatness through hunger and suffering. It was all part of the narrative. It was as if, back in her childhood home, she was coming up with stories to entertain her father, just as she had as a child. She wrote for his ghost, and for the ghost of Dennis Finch Hatton. In Rome in 1956, Blixen gave an interview in which she discussed one of the lectures she broadcast regularly on Danish national radio. "I planned a talk on how easy it was to die," she said. "Not a morbid message, I don't mean that, but a message of, well, cheer, that it is a great and lovely experience to die." It might even have been a message intended for her father and her lover, releasing her words into the ether where they might catch them and be reassured. "I don't feel I really belong in this life," she continued. "I am hovering like a seagull. I feel that the world is happy and splendid and goes on, but that I am not part of it. Great European Lives is brought to you by The New European. It's written and presented by Charlie Connolly, and the series producer is Steve Anglesey.